This morning, I will be reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
I appreciate Antonio sharing his heart with us like that. It's good to have a young father read this story about another young father who had to make some hard decisions too. And you made a good decision too, Antonio. We're proud of you. We're happy for you. Thank you for sharing that with us. A couple of weeks ago, I announced to you that, as is our custom here, we were trying to raise some money to send to Honduras to Mission Predison, so that they could, the staff there could have a Christmas party. And you responded beautifully, and we are just shy of that by $700, the mark that we had set to try to reach that amount. So you can notice here a little blurb about that in the link. And today is the last day for that. So if you were intending to give a gift there for the staff of Mission Predison, today's the day. And you can put it in the box in the gallery. You can see Joe, you can see Doris. One of them will get it to you. It will be, I know, a great party for them. And also want to just remind you that we have caroling tonight. These Christmas songs are very special. They're very special to me. I know they are to you too. You know, these songs, especially the ones that are traditional, so many of them were written to share this message about Jesus with the world, to share it outside of just our little huddle each week. And that's kind of what they were designed to do. They were designed like those angels were designed to give a message to someone else. And I think they just beg to be sung to other people. They beg to be sung in other places besides church buildings. And so we've started doing this the last couple of years, where we will take a Sunday night and go caroling. We've been doing it in the neighborhood close by. Looks like it's going to be rain tonight. And if it is rainy, we will adjourn and go to Christian Towers and go on some of the different floors there and sing to the residents there, which is something the kids have done in the past. So we've got a place to sing tonight. We've got some people to sing to tonight. You won't be too cold. You won't be too wet. Hope you will come. Meet us here at 6 if you'd like to come. If you're not sure what we're going to do, give me a call and I'll let you know. Give me a call, Paul a call, Crystal a call. We'll know the drill by about that time. And then the last thing that I'd like to announce today, not so happy, is that Mike Pruitt, who's been a member here for many years, is going to be moving here before the new year begins. Mike, right over here, wave your hand at least. Everybody sees you where you are. Mike, we are going to miss you. He's going to be moving to a good place, though, Alabama. So the next place is heaven after that. Most people go to heaven after that. I'm going to miss talking to you about college football. Hopefully they'll be able to turn you there to root for the good team. Probably not going to be able to do that, though, are they, Mike? But we really will miss you. Now, some of the people who are going to miss Mike the most, too. I know many of you who've gotten to know Mike, you're really going to miss him. He's been a part of your Bible classes or small groups and been here with us. But one of the places, the people who are going to miss him are the folks at Networks. Because you don't know it, Mike has been their best volunteer at Networks. I don't know if he's trying to win an award there or what, but he has been volunteering at Networks every day, basically, that it's open for many, many, many months here. And so it's going to take two or three of us to replace him, looks like. But Mike, we appreciate the work that you've done at Networks. We appreciate the way you've represented Northlake at Networks. We've got a good reputation there because of you. Thank you for that. And we pray that God will be with you always, and that you will find a congregation there you will love and be a part of, and that you'll find a work there as good as Networks to devote your life to. So wanted to let you guys know this. Got a couple of Sundays to say bye to Mike before he leaves, and we will insist that he comes back and visits, okay? And be here with us on a Sunday. So here we are, Matthew, beginning this story of Jesus in Matthew, the one that Antonio read for us. And I don't know about you, but after all the characters that we just met on that journey through the Old Testament that we just went through, when you come to Joseph, and Matthew says he was a righteous man, I want to have a parade. I don't know about you. I would love to just stand up and cheer. Finally, here is a righteous man. Even in the Bible, sometimes it can be hard to find a righteous man. Now that phrase, a righteous man, that might conjure up an image in your mind of an older man, but Joseph is probably just 17, 18, 19 years old maybe. In that society, he'd had adult responsibilities for a few years already. His righteousness means that he's serious about obeying the Old Testament laws, the Word of God. And now this righteous man learns that the young woman that he's engaged to, Mary, probably only 14, 15 years old herself, is pregnant. And he knows he's not the father. Maybe she's told him herself. Maybe one of her relatives approached him or his family about this. Maybe he noticed the physical changes that are taking place in her. Somehow he knows this about her. And he's someone who wants to do the right thing. But how do you know what's the right thing? How do you know what the right thing to do is? Now, some folks might say, well, just do what the Bible says. And that works for us so often. And it sounds simple. It's straightforward. You can't go wrong with what the Bible says, right? So let's look it up. What does the Bible say about this? Maybe Joseph, if he got to the synagogue, peeked back a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 22. She's to be taken out and stoned to death in front of the people. We heard this story before, haven't we? Now, we don't know if Joseph considered that as a righteous man who knew and tried to follow the Bible. It wouldn't surprise me. You know, he's thinking, he knows what the law says. Even though it's right there in the Bible, apparently this law wasn't followed very often. Just about like the laws about stoning smart aleck children. You run out of children after a while. Joseph is unwilling to have this young woman killed. Is he still righteous? And what other options does he have? As a Jewish man, he can divorce his wife for any reason. She doesn't clean house to his specifications. She's criticizing him, displeasing him in any way. He can divorce her, no questions asked. The law said it. Now that's, if you notice too, is one of the few parts of the law of Moses Jesus is going to be very specific about changing, instructing his followers only to divorce for marital infidelity. On Joseph's case, would have easily met that test. Mary has apparently been unfaithful. He has every right to divorce her. Now, he can try to hide the reason, but everybody's going to see Mary's pregnant. And in that day, divorce for unfaithfulness meant that the woman lost her dowry. She'd be publicly shamed. Everyone would know the child was not Joseph's, and she'd lose all honor in the community. What this meant was that she would be unmarriable. No one's going to take that shame upon their own self and their own family. And many, many women in that situation ended up prostitutes. How else are they going to make a living? And I think that the market for prostitution in a society that's so hard on impurity is quite ironic, isn't it? But the Bible says that Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. And we really don't know what that means, to dismiss her quietly. He knew that he was obligated by the law to separate her from her, to divorce her. And he may have even wanted to divorce her. And somehow he's trying to find the least harmful course of action for Mary. He knew what the Bible said, but he decided not to do that. He knew what the Bible allowed, and apparently he's going to do that somehow. Some way he reasons that's going to be the least harmful to this young woman. We just really don't know. I wonder even if when it's the Bible says that he's planning to divorce or to dismiss her quietly, it's more of a general course of action, a general stance, a position in his heart, rather than it is any kind of hard and fast plan. What plan meets this standard? Maybe it's just a way he had decided, I've got to go somehow. You know, it's possible even that Joseph was going to go through with the wedding, let her give birth to the child, and then divorce her under some other pretense. And that way, I guess he could preserve some kind of honor for her. Of course, it would also mean taking on himself the shame of being a father who abandoned his own child. Life can get so messy sometimes, even when God's not fooling around with you, right? What is righteousness here? Is it his desire to follow the law? Is it his compassion for Mary? Is it one or the other? Is it both? I wonder sometimes if it feels like neither. Doing the right thing isn't always simple. Whatever method he decides on that didn't bring down the full weight of the law on her because of her sin would, in the eyes of the community, in the eyes of his family, and in his own eyes, bring some measure of shame in his life. His own honor is going to be called into question. His own family's ability to make a good match is going to be suspect. And in an honor and shame culture like this, he's going to be a marked man for the rest of his life. In a small town like this, changing public perception or changing your lot in life somehow is so hard, so difficult. Joseph's decision affects his future too. The choice that he's made to somehow try to preserve some measure of honor for her is not in his own best interest. Clearly. So he finds himself in a real dilemma. And I think that we can relate to that. He's trying to obey what the Bible says, and he's also trying to act with compassion towards this young woman. And he's read the Bible, though, to such a depth that he not only has a knowledge of the letter of the law, he has this picture of God down deep in his soul, a picture of a God who is so loving and so forgiving and so relentlessly merciful with all kinds of broken and beautiful people. And he's in a dilemma. He's got two pictures of God. How do I reconcile these two pictures of God? And there are other things to read in the Bible besides the letter of the law. The Bible isn't an encyclopedia of legal rulings, and you can just look it up in the index and go to some place and find out in a sentence or two exactly what God would have you to do about everything. I like the image of God, or of Scripture, the image of Scripture and the witness of Scripture as a choir. And you know, with a choir, most every choir, if you stand up too close to any one member of that choir, you hear the off tones. You hear it's not quite as doesn't sound quite as good as it as it does when you back away, and you hear everyone together singing, and you hear the full voice that's being the full harmony of that. I think Joseph is trying to listen to the whole choir. He's trying to listen to the whole harmony there. Now, that didn't answer all his questions. It still leaves him with a dilemma. But at least in that moment, it placed him in a position to follow the leading of God. And when God came to him, he could hear. He was open to God. He was listening. And God can work with a person who's willing to listen. Now, what he was asked to do, you'll notice that the angel's first words are, "Don't be afraid to do this, because it's going to take even more courage to do what this angel, what God is asking Joseph to do." And I think that's one good way to know that God is leading you. It usually takes even more courage to do than the thing you had intended on. And it's usually not so much in your own best interest as it is in the interest of someone else. Now, some folks would say here that as they looked at Joseph in his community, that he's not the righteous man that he pretends to be. Everybody's going to know Mary's pregnant before the wedding. They know how to count. And some of them are going to say, well, maybe it wasn't just that Joseph and Mary, you know, Joseph, but maybe it was somebody else got in there before Joseph did. Communities talk. Their families are going to feel humiliated. Joseph and Mary are going to have to deal with the stares and the whispers. And they're going to bear a stigma in this community. But once God comes to Joseph, he obeys. There's no hesitation. And I would really like to know if after all this was over, if Joseph's prayer wasn't, "God, why couldn't you at least send that angel messenger to me before I had to struggle with all of this, like you did with Mary?" You know, at least you gave her a clue early on in this process. But God let Joseph struggle. God let Joseph wrestle with this. I guess Joseph needed to come to a place where he was listening, because he was going to be asked to trust like no one has ever been asked to trust. It doesn't seem like Joseph asks that question. Maybe Joseph knows that true righteousness always requires sacrifice. He's prepared to sacrifice his dignity. He's prepared to sacrifice his own needs and desires. He's going to sacrifice his reputation. Probably put at risk his financial well-being. Sacrifice, perhaps, his dreams and aspirations to place himself in the hands of God. But can't God use a person like that? God can use someone who will accept the stress and the difficulty of true faith, someone who's sincere and merciful, someone who loves God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength, and holds that with loving their neighbor as themselves. And when you say it like that, he starts to sound familiar, doesn't he? Joseph sounds familiar. He's Jesus is Joseph's son too. Now, did the Bible leave room for doubt in Joseph's mind? Absolutely. Did his heart leave room for doubt? Yes. I mean, did even the dream leave room for doubt? I can imagine it would. But what incredible faith he had to sense the leading of God and to follow immediately and completely wherever God was leading. And in these stories about Joseph, he will disappear after these brief stories about him and the baby Jesus, and then over in Luke, the story of the going to Jerusalem when Jesus is just a boy and he gets lost. And after that, Joseph's gone from the story. He's just a reference. He's just a footnote. And in all of those, we never hear Joseph say a word. He never says anything. All he does is obey. All he does is follow every time, time after time. And so when God wants to teach us about faith, he gives us an image like this: a man who loves God, who loves mercy, a man who's willing to sacrifice their public perception for true righteousness. He was a righteous man. Now, when you become a parent, one of the things that you're supposed to consider is, who do I want to raise this child if I'm unable for some reason to do it myself? And God chose Joseph and Mary. To a man like Joseph, maybe a baby lying in a manger might not have seemed like such a strange way for God to come and be with his people. He must have believed so deeply God would come. And that's what our faith tells us. Even in moments of doubt, we don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know when it will happen. Maybe even how it can happen. We can't imagine it. But we believe God will come. And when darkness and danger rule in this world, God will come. When despair and pain and death seem to dominate, God will come. God has come. God is with us. And God will come again. And this is the Advent story. And perhaps God has come to you today, and you've realized that, as Antonio shared with us, how God has come again into his life. Are you listening? Are we listening? Are we open? Will we follow if we hear? Do you sense God leading you in some way today? Maybe you need to overcome a temptation. Maybe you need to turn away from a sin. Maybe you need to reconcile a relationship in your life. Or maybe you need to care for someone who's in need. Maybe you need to follow God and you know that it's not going to be to your best interests. That's when it's true righteousness. Listen and obey God. Let us be like Joseph. Though God may lead us through some very difficult ways, God will be with us. And that is the comfort, that is the strength that we need and that we will have. So I give you a chance, if you have any need today that you would like to express to this congregation, if you'd like the prayers of this church, if you would like to be baptized, you've not been baptized, and you say, I need to cross that river. Or maybe you have been baptized, but you found yourself going the way that you don't want to, you don't want to go in life. And you know that God's not, is trying to lead you in a different direction. Go that direction. Tell your friend who's sitting there with you, or your family, or tell this family, but commit to it and live it out at this time of year. May God be with you this time of year. Let's stand and sing.